Good morning, everyone. If you could please turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 7. And we will read from verse 1 to 7. So it's Exodus 7, 1 to 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, and let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt in great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from the midst." So Moses and Aaron did it, as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Amen. Amen. So Exodus 7 is a very particular verse. And to be honest, when I was reading it, when I felt like God was starting to inspire me about it, I really didn't understand, you know, particularly why I was going to speak on chapter 7. But you know, before I kind of explain it to you, because I think it's a very significant point, let me kind of draw the story of what's going on. But we all know the story of Moses. Remember, he was born a Hebrew during a time when Pharaoh of Egypt, the Israelites were in Egypt because Joseph brought them there, right? And God brought him there so that when there was a huge famine, the Israelites would be saved. What happened was that the king that knew him died, and the Israelites ended up growing huge in numbers. And because they grew up huge in numbers, the Egyptians said, "Hey, man, we better do something about this, or else what if one day an enemy attacks us?" And the Israelites decide, "Hey, they don't want to be with us anymore, and they attack us as well. So let's make slaves out of them." And not only do we make slaves out of them, Pharaoh has a dream, and so he ends up killing all the males of the Israelites. And so Moses was born during this time. He was born during this time when Israel was being persecuted quite a bit. And what happened to him, we all remember the story, is that his sister decides, "Hey, let's save him. We're going to put him into a basket. Okay, I'm going to put him into the Nile where we know that the Pharaoh's daughter bathes all the time. And then we're going to put him there and hope she has mercy on him." And she does, right? And she ends up adopting him as a son. And then he grows up in the Egyptian kingdom as a son. So he'll probably end up learning a lot of the, you know, ways of the military, their history, their gods, all these sort of things. And then one day when he grows up, he sees a Hebrew brother, so somebody that, you know, of his kin, and he decides to help him. How does he help him? He kills the Egyptian because the Egyptian is being particularly difficult or mean to this Hebrew. And because he did this, he gets found out. And so he has to leave because Pharaoh tries to kill him. He spends 40 years in the desert. And then God shows up one day in a burning bush and tells him, Moses, I'm going to send you to free my people." So after some, you know, complaining and all these sort of things, "I don't want to go, God, you know, send somebody else. I don't know what to say. My speech is horrible." He finally goes and he speaks to Pharaoh. And after he speaks to Pharaoh for the first time, what happens? Pharaoh, he gives them twice the amount of work. Instead of, God says, "Hey, I'm going to deliver people through you." And then he goes, "Okay, well, I'm not the right person to do it, but God, because you said it, I'm going to go do it." And he goes and does it. And then the Israelites get messed up even more, okay? And then chapter 7 comes, okay? And so this is amidst a time when this chapter was a time when Moses was probably going through a particularly hard time following God's call on his life and trying to recognize, "Hey, man, what's going on?" But why is chapter 7 so significant? In order for me to explain that, let me kind of cut out Moses' life into sections that I think is easier for us to kind of relate with. First of all, Moses was set apart from birth. Okay? And in many ways, we are all set apart from birth, right? And I'm always reminded of Galatians 1. You don't have to turn there, and I'll read it for you. But Paul, in Galatians 1, talks about, "For God... when his grace, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among Gentiles, that I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. So Paul, right here, what he's talking about is even as he's preaching to the Gentiles, as he's preaching to the church in Galatians, he's telling them, as a Christian, here I am doing what I'm doing, and I'm set apart. My life is set apart to do God's work. And we know Paul also describes to us in Ephesians 2:10 that for we are God's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created in advance, prepared in advance for us to do. And so all of us here, listening or in the sanctuary, whatever the case here, we recognize that we are called apart from birth, right? And so Moses, much like Moses, has been called apart from birth for something. He doesn't know what, but he is a Hebrew born in a very specific time, saved to be in Pharaoh's palace, and that's it, right? That's his calling. He doesn't understand what this is. So he grows up. He goes through a series of circumstances where God gives him favor. He learns all of these things. He doesn't know what it's for yet. He doesn't understand, but he knows his life is set apart. And then one day, what happens? He sees a brother in need. He sees somebody of his kin in need. Okay? And he sees that I need to do something. Okay? He doesn't understand why, but I feel like this is the first time that Moses begins to realize there's a calling on his own life. Right? Why would he comfortably in Pharaoh's palace, having all of these things, suddenly decide that, you know, I need to do something for my brothers? Okay? I believe this is starting of the call of something in his life. Much like for us, we begin to realize as we go through circumstances that there's something that God is doing in our lives. And I promise I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just talking for the sake of talking. I promise there is something at the end of it. Okay? So what does he do? He does something about it. He recognizes that there's something. I don't know why, but I want to help this man. And he goes and he does it. And he does something brash. And we know he goes and kills this guy, right? And he gets in trouble for it. And he ends up having to run away. And God puts him through this desert, right? And so if I was to look at us, sometimes what we recognize, we realize, God, there is something in my life that I know you're calling me to. I don't understand quite what it is yet. But I know that I've been set apart from birth. And we start doing things. And sometimes we start making mistakes, and God brings us into this desert place. And then what happens after a while in the desert? After God kind of breaks down Moses for 40 years, he shows up in a burning bush, and he finally tells Moses what his purpose is. Moses, I want you to take the Israelites, and I want you to free them from Pharaoh's hand, and I want you to lead them into the promised land. After 40 years in the desert. Now, if we were to relate it to us, doesn't all of this sound very familiar, right? All of us as Christians now have been taught that we are one. We are set apart from birth, right? God has made us to do something, to do a good work that he's prepared in advance for us to do. There's a purpose for our life. Somewhere along our lives, we recognize that God is starting to speak to us in our hearts, right? And as we recognize that, sometimes we try to follow God the best we can, we make some mistakes, and then oftentimes what happens to a lot of us is we hear from God, and we do something, and then we go through a very difficult time. We end up going through a desert place. God, I have no idea why I'm here. I thought you called me. And then one day, after going through this desert time where we're learning from God, we're learning all of these things, we're trying to forget the ways of the world, God's kind of putting us into a time where, remember, through the 40 years, he didn't speak to Moses, right? He was just allowing him to learn to be a shepherd, to not forget the things that he was doing in Egypt, but to recognize his identity wasn't in those things anymore. He had to break down Moses before he kind of came in the burning bush. And so for us, we also go through that, right? Where we go through a time where, God, I know you've called me, but you're not really speaking to me. You're not telling me what my life is about. And so I have no idea why I'm going through this desert time, and it's difficult, it's lonely, I don't hear from you, I don't know what's going on, God, where are you? And then one day God just kind of shows up in a burning bush to us. And for us, I don't know, I've never had a burning bush. But I knew when God spoke to me in my heart. You guys do too, right? When you know when God is speaking to you, it's just this thing in your heart that God just, you know, for me it was, I was listening to Nick Vujicic and I just felt like God speaking to me, hey, Ricky, what do you think about full-time ministry? And I was like, no, that's not what I want to do. And this is exactly what happens to Moses, right? Moses, I want you to go and do a great work to bring the Israelites out. And what does he say? He says, no, God, send somebody else. I don't know how to speak to Pharaoh. I can't do these things that you're asking me to. But because he knows it's God, he does it anyway. And so this brings us to chapter 7, right? So right before chapter 7, in chapter 6, or 5 and 6, he talks to Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardens his heart, gives more labor to the Israelites. And then what does Moses say when God tells him to go to Pharaoh again? God, I'm unskilled in speech. How will Pharaoh listen to me? So what's the significance about chapter 7? Well, if you read throughout the entirety of Exodus, before chapter 7 and after chapter 7, something changes very drastically in Moses. How does Moses get called into the ministry? Remember, he's complaining the entire time. The burning bush. God, no, send someone else, right? After God promises him that he's going to do a great work, right? Chapter 4, he said, throw your staff on the ground, throws it on the ground, turns it into a serpent, right? Does a miracle for him. What does he say again? No, God, I know you can do this, but I don't want to go. Right? After he speaks to Moses and Moses hardens his heart, what does he do again? He complains. Well, after chapter 7, at least in regards to the Exodus, Moses never complains again. Before chapter 7, Moses, every time God tells him to do something, send someone else. So much so that God burned with anger, remember, and he sent Aaron with him. But after chapter 7, never again, at least in relevance to in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, he never complains to God again. So what happened? What happened between his, you know, because he's still in a difficult place, right? Like, they haven't been delivered yet, right? God, remember, he's going to bring the plagues. But so what happened between chapter 6, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then chapter 7, bam! And then 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, all the other ones, why doesn't he complain? Well, the answer, I believe, lies in the excerpt that we read, but specifically in verses 3 and 4. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart that I may multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt in great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring the sons of Israel from their midst. Something God says here changes Moses' heart. And I believe this revelation is what changed Moses' heart, because I think when God said this to Moses, he finally got something. You know, all the difficulty that he's going through, everything before that, right? I mean, Moses went through quite a bit of difficulty, right? I mean, at the beginning of his life was, you know, right, all the persecution. He's probably too young to remember, but he was persecuted. His people were persecuted. Right, he had to grow up in all these different circumstances of, you know, learning under Pharaoh's daughter, under Pharaoh, you know, all their training, all these sort of things. Right, so God was preparing for something, and then he gets exiled for 40 years. God, why are you sending me? Why am I going through this difficult time? God answers and says, everything that your life has went through is for my glory. Everything, all the difficulty, all the training, whether it's Pharaoh's hardening of hearts, whether it's going to be the deliverance of Israel, whether you're going through a desert time, it's for my glory. And I think Moses gets it here, because after this, he never complains again. He recognizes that whether he's going through a difficult time, whether he's going through an easy time, whether God's doing miracles or not, he recognized in his heart that it's for God's glory. It wasn't about him anymore, but it was about God. But the funny thing is this, right? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier if God just delivered the Israelites without any of these problems? Like, Moses, go, tell Pharaoh. And he goes, tells Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay. God could have shown his glory then too, right? So why did that have to be so difficult? Well, I believe God was showing, well, three specific people or groups of people, or what he was trying to do was he was trying to show them that he was God, right? there's something about difficulty and struggling through difficulty that we recognize that God is God. Let me kind of go through this a little bit, right? The first person that God was trying to show was God, guess who it was? It was Moses. It was Moses. It wasn't the Israelites. It wasn't Pharaoh. It was Moses. Moses was the one that was called, right? He was the one that recognized he was set apart from birth. He was the one that recognized that he was going through this desert time, 40 years of untraining himself, or to be untrained from the things that, you know, he was trained in, recognizing that there was a calling in his life, God showing all these miracles to him, and he was like, what's going on? Why? God was trying to show Moses, look, amidst all that's happening right now, all the difficulty I've put you in, all the circumstances that you think you've had to go through, guess what? No matter what's happening, I am God. I am God. And how does he show Moses? Through his power. Okay, he turns the snake, the staff into the snake. And then what does he do through Moses? He brings 9 plagues. Hail falls down at the command of Moses. At the staff putting, as he puts his staff into the water, you know, it turns into blood. Locusts come, boils, right? The Passover, all of these things. But you know what? God didn't start working these miracles until Moses got this one point. He recognized that everything that was happening around him was so that glory would be given to God, so that the glory of God will be shown through him. And until Moses got that, I'm not saying that God couldn't have used him, and I think God's will still would have been done, but I think it's very specific timing that it was, he recognized that his purpose was God's glory, and then God worked the miracles through him. And so I don't know, a lot of us, I mean, myself included, had to go through this too, and I don't know if this is particularly what you're going through. Maybe you're trying to figure out what's going on. You've been Christian all your life. You know there's a purpose for you, right? The scriptures tells us that. Your mentors, your spiritual authorities, those around you, right? They're telling you, hey, there's something. God has a plan for your life. Well, God, where is it? And maybe you're at a time where you recognize there is a plan and you're trying to follow God the best you can, but you're going through a really difficult time right now, right? And you're wondering, God, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through this, you know, trials or humbling, all these sort of things? Well, I want you to recognize something. God is trying to show you that, one, he's God of your life. Two, he's trying to show you his power. In the second point, I'll show more about that, too. He's trying to show you his power. But three, he's trying to remind you that, look, whatever is going on in your life, it's for my glory. If we don't go through these times of difficulty, we will never humble ourselves. I mean, this is just the human nature. This is just how we're made as humans, right? The Israelites go through all the trials they do, and still they don't humble themselves. Right? For us, there's something about difficulty. There's some things that we can only learn through difficulty. Right? C.S. Lewis says this all the time. Well, I mean, I say this all the time, but to quote C.S. Lewis, right? God, he speaks in our whispers in our joy, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. There's only certain things that we are able to learn through pain and suffering and difficulty. It's because unless we're brought down to a place where we recognize God as God, we'll never submit. And that's just the human condition, right? Unless we're brought to a place where we can see the ugliness, right? Deuteronomy 8, right? For God brought you through the desert for 40 years, humbling you, testing you so you know what was in your heart. Well, God didn't need to test the Israelites, remember? He already knew, but he needed them to know what was in their hearts. Well, our times of difficulty is also for us to know what's in our hearts. And unless we know, and unless we get to a point where God can be God, we can never be humble. And so that's the first thing he's trying to do. He's trying to show Moses, look, even in your difficulty, I'm God. And so listen to me, because ultimately everything that's going to happen in your life is for my glory, and it's about me. It's not about you. The second people or groups of people that God is trying to show that he's God to still were not the Israelites. It was the Egyptians. It was Pharaoh himself. Okay? And this is very significant. I mean, for them specifically in this time, the context, remember, God is trying to preserve a people, right? So all the things that he does to the Egyptians, I mean, if you look in the context now, would seem pretty crazy, right? Imagine your workplace and your boss is being really mean to you and God just sends hail on him, you know, or like boils all over his body. Well, maybe you'll be like, yeah, God, praise God, right? But God doesn't do that these days, right? But specifically here, why he did it to the Egyptians was, one, he was trying to preserve a people, right? And the Israelites were God's chosen people. And so because they were being oppressed by the Egyptians, it was God's justice for Israelites, for Israel, as he was delivering them. But what is this to us? Well, specifically about the example I was talking about. Are you going through a difficult time where someone is just haggling you? Maybe it's work. Maybe it's something in your ministry. Whatever the case may be, right? God is trying to show you, first of all, and he's trying to show those around you that he is God, right? Part of the reason why there's the difficulty in your life, right? Maybe it's your boss trying to give you difficulty. Trust me, if he's doing everything in his power to make your life a living H-E double hockey sticks, right? Or heck, in God's favor, if you're succeeding, in God's favor, if you're doing well, trust me, he's going to be burning with anger, first of all, or she. But I can guarantee at some point they're going to wonder, why and how is this person, even with all of these obstacles in front of them, still able to succeed the way that they are? They may never say it to you, but trust me, in their hearts, they're asking. And so this kind of brings me to a quick point here, is whatever situation is going through, if you're going through a difficult time, remain faithful, right? The battle belongs to God, right? Israel couldn't do anything to get themselves out of the situation. Neither could Moses. Who delivered them? It wasn't Moses. It was God, right? And God allowed all of this difficulty to bring judgment onto Egypt. I mean, also to show the Israelites and also Moses that he's God as well. But he's showing them, look, the battle belongs to me. No matter how hard their hearts become, no matter how much obstacle and difficulty, I am going to do it. And so in that light, God is also showing those around you, those that don't know God, those that are maybe persecuting you, look, even amongst your persecution, why is he faithful? Why is she faithful? How is she able to remain so, you know, the favor? How is she continually able to succeed in the work amidst all of these things that are happening? It's so that God will get the glory. It's so that people will know that he is God. And so remain faithful, even amongst your difficulty. Sorry, I kind of had an accent for that one. The third group of people, that God is trying to show he's God to is the Israelites. Last but not least, it was the Israelites. They had called out to God for 400 years, deliver us, deliver us. You know, they got really desperate, right? Really desperate. God, why didn't you come sooner? And then even when God came, so much difficulty came. I know this part, in many ways, I can't explain why, right? I mean, the easy answer, and Scripture tells us, right? It's because it was for God's glory, right? It's true. God wanted to show them, even amongst their difficulty, I am God. I can do all these miracles to get you out of this situation, right? But this is really the point that I really wanted to speak to today, because I feel like most people are in this area, or there's a lot of people, at least in our church, in this area. They feel like God's just not answering them. And even when God is bringing an answer or calling them to something or doing something, it makes their life even more difficult. It feels like, God, why aren't you just doing something? Why is life getting harder? Well, I mean, in your particular case, I don't know. But what I do know is God's promise remains faithful. When God says he has a covenant with you, when he says he'll never forget you or forsake you, when he says he has a purpose for you, he'll always come through. No matter if it takes 10 years or 40 years, no matter if it takes 1 week or 10 weeks, even if it takes God a season to really break you or to show you that he is God, it's going to happen. You know, the best answer I have for you, if this is what you're going through, is this, right? I'm always reminded of John chapter 11. You guys remember the story of Lazarus, right? Gets sick, right? And Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. And so he's like, oh, Jesus, he's sick. And it says specifically in the scripture, because he was sick, I'm going to stay here for 2 more days. And Jesus said this. It's weird. But when Jesus heard this, he said, So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Doesn't seem very loving to me. God, you're supposed to love me. Why aren't you coming to my aid? But then verse 4, but when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified in it. Very similar to the Israelites, right? Very similar. Lazarus had to die so he could know the resurrection power of Christ. Mary and Martha had to lose their brother, at least for a few days, so they could know the power of Christ. God sometimes allows us to go through suffering so that we will know the power of Christ. God allows us to go through times of difficulty so that people around us will know the power of Christ. So let's close our eyes. And ask, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe you are going through a very difficult time, I don't know. Maybe you recognize that there's a calling on your life, right? And here's the truth, right? I'm not Calvinistic or, you know, all these sort of things. But the Word tells us this, right? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus through good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, right? We all know as Christians there is a call on our life. But God, why aren't I there yet? God, don't you love me? God, why don't I understand my purpose yet? Well, I pray if this is you, that God is going to speak to you right now. That he's going to show you that even this, amidst all your difficulty in this time of desert place, trust me, there's a mountain at the end of it. God is faithful to show up. God cannot deny himself. It's possible that he's going through this time with you to humble you. Maybe there's something he needs you to learn about him. It's possible that he's going through this so that he can show you his power through your suffering. Maybe he's bringing you through to a desperation where it's like, God, unless you show up, I can't get out of this situation. You know, God does that. Why? So that he may be glorified. Or maybe he's preparing you so that those around you, those that he will prepare for you to meet one day, they're going to know God through you. And so let's respond to God as Jeff leads us by being faithful. Simply saying, God, here I am. Whatever you want to do, here I am, because I trust you, because I know you have something for me, even if I don't see it, or even if I know you have something for me and I'm going through a difficult time, I know it's so that you will be glorified. So let's really respond to him. Thank you.
surrounds me.
Praise Him that He's going to do a mighty work through you, through me. Praise Him that at the end of our life, that God is going to receive praise. As long as we remain faithful, that is His promise to us. You know, the whole idea of good and faithful servant, it's not just for the superstars or pastors or any, you know, it's for you and for me. It's for those who have been called from birth and those who remain faithful and obedient to Him. That's it. And so let's praise Him right now. Let's say, thank you, God, for my difficulties. Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching me. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work in and through me. Let's praise Him. our attention to our community. Let's pray in faith for those going through cancer and suffering from cancer-related issues. Let's really pray and claim His word over them in Isaiah 53, that by His scourging that they're healed. Let's pray for His comfort and His peace and His wisdom and understanding over them and their families. Let's really pray for them. For those that are going through physical illness but also requiring salvation, let's really pray that God brings sozo healing but also salvation to them. Let's pray that God opens their eyes and their ears, and let's pray that God will be glorified through their situation, that it'll be a testimony to them that not only is God good, but to those around them as well. Let's really pray for them. For those that are suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. If you can, Eugenia Oh, who's an SPU, she's actually in surgery at this moment right now. It's already at 7:30, and she's getting reconstructive surgery for her eardrum. And so please pray for her, pray for healing over her, pray that God will bless the work of the surgeons and whatnot, and really help bring her hearing back in her ear. So let's really cover her as we cover the rest of our friends as well. Pray for those in our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's favor over them. Let's pray that just something about them that people want to hire. Let's pray that God also prepares their hearts as well to recognize that wherever it is that God is going to prepare them work, that it'll be their mission place, that they'll be ready to do His work in their workplace. Let's also pray for God's providence in this time as well. So especially if they've been out of work for a long time, that God will sustain them, you know, physically and spiritually and emotionally. Go to our Wednesday focus, our mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing, P. Sam Kim and Annie and the kids, and also pray for Pastor Hyunsu and also Chloe. Let's pray for their transition into Beijing, which will be coming over the summer. Let's pray for Jessie. She's in China as one of our missionaries. Let's really pray for covering over her. Pray that God continues to use her to work with the kids up there and to send the missionaries. Let's pray for the Chong family. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and all the different churches that are there. Really, let's just pray that God will just change China into a God-fearing nation. You know, they're already 20-25% Christian, but let's pray for even greater so that the country becomes a God-fearing nation. As well. Let's pray for P. Sam and Lisa, for Janie, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's really pray for their families, their kids. Pray for covering over them. Let's really ask that God blesses their families. Ask that God gives them wisdom as well, as many of the decisions have to do with, you know, the direction of the church and how we use the funds and whatnot. And so let's really ask that God gives them favor and wisdom. Pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming and barista. Let's really pray that God's favor and His light just shines through those that serve in these ministries, as they're the front line to guests and newcomers, and especially to those that don't know God. Let's really pray that God uses them. Pray that they'll be refreshed. Pray that in all that they do, whether it's, you know, handing out a coffee or a bulletin, that they'll just do it with joy. Let's really pray for a refreshing for them, and that God will really meet with them. Also pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for covering over them. Let's really cover the men, especially through their Pure Desire group. It's a group dedicated to staying pure for the Lord. Let's really pray for covering over the men, the singles, and also the married. That, you know, they'll be God-loving, that they'll be holy, and or we will be holy, and we'll desire His holiness. Let's really pray for the women as well, the women's ministry. Let's really pray that God really speaks through the leaders to continue to lead them to a closer relationship with God. Let's pray for Yama and Yamama, and that God speaks to our young adults group as well. Thank you. Let's also pray for our house churches tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, Elements, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Lion Rock, and Taihang. Let's really pray for God's Spirit to really be with them, that they'll feel the physical manifest of His presence, and that there'll be unity in the house churches as well. And pray for the leaders as they lead. Let's pray for a refreshing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for your revelation, God. We thank you, God, for who you are. Lord, I just want to lift up my friends, God, especially if they're going through a hard time. Father, will you just shower them with love, Lord, with grace, mercy, and blessing. So much so, God, that they recognize, Lord, that you are enough for them. Father, Lord, I continue to pray, Lord, will you speak your purposes into their lives? Lord, help us, Lord, to recognize, God, that everything that we go through, Lord, really is about you. Father, our lives are about you. Lord, it's to worship you and to love you and to bring glory to your name. And so, Father, I pray for a blessing over them. God, will you bless your socks off? Lord, will you meet with them this week? Father, will you cover their relationships, Lord, their workplaces, God, Father, their work, their decisions. Lord, we pray against any backlash, Lord, as well. We pray, Father, for spiritual covering. Lord, I just pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just meet with them, God, somewhere, somehow this week, Lord, that you'll speak to them in their hearts of hearts, Lord. They'll know that you are with them despite whatever situation they're going through. And lastly, God, we say thank you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you love us enough, God, to keep us, Lord, from complacency, Lord, and to leave us where we are. So, God, we bless you, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, please enjoy your time of prayer. Jesus. Sorry, I'm supposed to go through the slides with you guys. So this is the Lent prayer time and the prayer app. And so please read through Psalm 20. If you either download it on your Bible on an app or read through it on your Bibles. And let's really pray through the Sha Tin Anglican Church, which is located in Sha Tin, and the pastor is Hee-Wan Han. So Sha Tin is an international church, English-speaking Anglican church, grounded in God's Word, enjoying contemporary worship at the heart of new territories. Let's really pray that as they seek to teach God's Word faithfully, they will grow into a loving community. Let's pray that they will be able to lead cross-centered worship and to reach those who don't yet know Jesus. Let's pray that the church, as they undergo changes in 2015, let's pray for them to be united in the gospel. Let's really pray for the pastor and for the congregation, also for God to work through their church. Time of prayer, and I will see you guys back tomorrow.